Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It is Monday, February the 15th, day after Valentine's Day. And I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
And boy, man, it is cold outside. There are so many different ways that you can say that it is cold. And I'm not even going to get into the cliche stuff. But it is, I mean, we got negative wind chills in the city of Memphis, in the roundabout area, obviously, where we are. What do you think we got? Like 8 inches of snow right now? Somewhere at 6 inches, something like that?
No, yeah, I bet it's at least 8. And then it's supposed to come some more, right?
Yes. So for those that are from elsewhere around the country.
Not tomorrow, but Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes. We are getting, so between yesterday and today, it's been about 8 inches, 8 to 10 inches of ice and snow. Yep. And then tomorrow, we have nothing. It's just going to be dry tonight and tomorrow, except that it's not going to get any warmer than, what, 22?
Yeah, I was about to say, but in the teens most of the time, so it's not going away.
It is not going away. And then on Wednesday, it heats all the way up to 30 degrees or something like that. Stays below freezing, but it will be another 3 to 5 inches of snow during the day, another 3 to 5 inches of snow at night, and then another 1 to 3 on Thursday. So we are going to be locked in for the entire week. I mean, it is awful.
This area is about to be on lockdown for real.
So we went outside just before this and took my two-year-old outside, which that is for the birds. It is so cold out. I had on triple layers of clothes, as did he and my wife, and we walked up to the main road, right? Like, we live in a little subdivision. We walked over to the stop sign and then up a little hill to get to the main road that connects us from this little town in Mississippi up to the big city in Memphis. And dude, there were people flying on this road, and it ain't been plowed. There ain't no salt or sand or whatever. People are losing their minds. And there was a guy stuck in the middle of the street, just back wheels spinning. He was in like a Dodge Charger and just out joyriding. He had no reason to be out, but he got stuck in the middle of an intersection.
It's a bad situation for two-wheel drive vehicles, and it's definitely bad for real rear-wheel drive vehicles and trucks. You got to have some weight in the back of that joker, man.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Taylor jumps in. He said, F this weather. Ben jumps in on Twitch, and he said, does the world end when it snows in Mississippi? And he said, it's anarchy.
We're not really anarchy. We just all go inside.
Yeah, we just go inside.
Like, I'll tell you this, if anything's going to kill the Rona, like, this is, like, you wanted people to quarantine, well, we all quarantining.
This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it.
There is no, you know, fighting against this machine. No, you're just going to do what it tells you to do.
Yep, you got it. So we have got everything prepared for if the power goes out and everything else. I got my fireplace fixed up. I got we have a supply of water in case the pipes decide that they want to burst or something, because it's supposed to be like 0 degrees tonight. Like, yeah. There's all kind of different stuff that we are preparing for. I can't imagine the people that did not prepare for this. That just thought, ah, it's going to go north, or it's not going to hit. It never does. They always say this every year, and they really do. The weather people say it every year. And
this is the problem. The old school story of Du Bois cry wolf. When you say it's going to be bad all the time, this is why people sit through hurricanes.
Yep.
Okay, it's because time after time after time, because they want ratings, they talk about how it's going to be the one that ends it all. And so everybody's eyes are on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's really not that bad. And then one day, it's going to be that bad. And people are just going to sit at home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're all going to die.
Now, this is the worst that we have had. We've already got a record low already.
We've gotten more ice than this before. The ice storm of 94 was days and days of ice. We got one half day of ice and then 2 days of snow.
Yep.
This is the most snow we've ever gotten in my lifetime.
Oh yeah. And we're nearly 40. So 4 decades. Yeah. I mean, this is crazy stuff. Crazy stuff that we're living through. But it is pretty outside. Like, I do like the snow.
It's real pretty.
Makes it really bright.
Well, once again, we're just locked in the house with these same fucking people all the time, man.
But I'll tell you this, we still get to do Winning Cures Everything, and I'm pretty excited about that. So
and I still love those people. I just don't want to be around them all the time. No, that's not true. They don't. I'm a very hard, Gary, you know this. I'm a very difficult person to be around for a long period of time. And most of this is my fault. I understand that. It doesn't make it any easier, but.
You are a very loving person, but you are also a little needy. Is needy the right word?
I'm high maintenance. I'm high very maintenance. High maintenance. That's now, here's the thing. My high maintenance, I never demand anybody else to handle. That's true. Take full responsibility for it. But I'm just very high maintenance.
This is true. Yeah. All right, let's jump off of this winter weather talk. Let's talk about some actual sports news. I wanted to finish up with this. The 133 car pileup in Fort Worth that happened Friday or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know was going on, or maybe it was Saturday morning. I don't
know. No, it happened Friday.
It was Friday. All right. So, and we didn't talk about it on the show on Friday. I think we were in a bit of a hurry. But that is my worst nightmare, and it's why I don't drive in this stuff. Like, there are too many bridges everywhere. There's too many places that I got to be, and hopping on the interstate is, of course, the quickest way to get there. For me to get to my job, to get to everywhere else, like, that is the way that I have to take if I'm going to get there in a reasonable amount of time, right? But
that's it. You just don't take those roads.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of driving in this, the idea of reasonable amount of time has now changed.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why I don't do it. Yeah. I don't drive in this stuff. But that's my worst nightmare. The stories that have come out of that thing, people, you could hear the cars hitting each other for miles and miles. Like, you heard it. Like, if you were involved in that at the very front of it, you could still hear it going on behind you for like 30, 45 minutes. They said it was terrifying, and I could not imagine, man. Like, there is no way you could get me out on roads like that. There's no
you
chance.
Just don't. Yeah, no, you got to stay off the interstates. But like, so I mean, I was unfortunate enough to have a corporate job or a real job where I had to go into work. There was no, man, we didn't take time off. All right. We didn't get closed down for this. Okay. You go to work. You in the security world, you work. Listen, we're there when everybody else is not. So we were getting extra work.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those things where it's just a slow and steady going in that race.
Oh, no, you're 100% right about that.
I mean, that is you know, drop it in neutral when you're going over the interstate or when you're going over any kind of bridge or bypass. I stayed off the interstate. It's just, you're just going to leave an hour and a half before you get to work. I had to be there at 6. I'm leaving at 4:30.
Yep. Taylor.
And if I get there early with no problems, I'm just going to park and chill in my car.
Yeah, you just hang out.
That's it. Just hang out.
Taylor said South Bend's on winter weather advisory until 10 a.m. This stuff that's coming for you. Hardcore, man. Casey said it's getting bad in Louisville, supposed to get 8 to 12 inches. Yeah, that's what they had us at 8 to 12 inches, and it's at about 8 right now, but I think it's supposed to stop here pretty soon. The worst thing is, before the snow hits, there's about a solid, you know, inch or two of ice beforehand. It was sleeting last night.
If we didn't get the ice, it wouldn't be so bad. But, when you get about 2 inches of ice a day before all the snow comes in and we stay in the teens the whole time so the ice never has a chance to melt, it's no good at all.
Yep. It is bad juju. Bad juju. So, yeah, you guys that are getting this, yeah, Casey said it sleeted all morning. Yeah, don't be driving in this, buddy. Don't be driving. Taylor said it's the goat of Mississippi snowstorms. I told you. Every time that you bring up goat, it's going
to happen. You can say goat of a storm because, nope, you don't have to pay credence or homage to this storm. That's fine.
That works. What is this thing? I think it's Winter Storm Uri. I think that's what they called it. I didn't even know winter storms had names.
I've watched zero news on this. I just don't watch the news at all anymore.
I don't watch the news, but man, I'm all over Twitter trying to find news for us to talk about. Which, by the way,
yeah, look that stuff up. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Casey said prayers for everyone that electricity doesn't go out. Yeah, that's I've been prepping for that. Like just in case, you never know with this stuff, man. Like I did find out because I started doing the research on the on my map and everything. The power grid that I am connected to is also connected to the industrial park and the Olive Branch Airport. So my guess is if our power does go out, we're going to be some of the first ones back up. So we'll be at least lucky with that. But you remember when I first moved into this house like 5 years ago and the power went out if the wind blew the wrong direction?
Yeah.
Golly, that was the worst.
I don't know that Olive Branch Airport's helping you at all.
Maybe not.
I'm gonna bet this week they don't get a plane. They don't let a plane up or down.
Oh, probably not. Probably not. But I do bet that the industrial park, they absolutely are gonna be letting.
Yeah, probably. Those people are still going to work.
Yep, absolutely.
Those businesses still have to function.
You have got that right. You can't just shut down for a week when you're doing that. Not when you're doing that.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, so speaking of finding news on Twitter and all that kind of stuff, we were alerted this morning that good old Gus Malzahn has taken the UCF job. They offered it last night. It was reported on AL.com and the Orlando Sentinel and all sorts of other stuff. And this morning, he has taken it. He is taking the job. He is going to Orlando. Found out the details, by the way. It is a 5-year, $11.1 million contract. And none of that is crossed off the Auburn contract. Like, Auburn had to pay everything regardless of what Gus Malzahn ends up doing afterwards. So he has got a bank account that is full to the brim, and now he gets paid by UCF as well. And he didn't have to take that much money from UCF, which worked out pretty well.
I see you're talking about $2.3 million.
Oh, yeah. Damian jumped in. Mother Nature is the goat. Sorry, MJ. You got that right. And Alonzo Chico said, I think Gus at UCF is cool. I think it is, too. It's going to be nice to see him without his hands tied behind his back by a booster organization that basically runs the football program.
We're going to get to see him and his qualifications and what he really is.
When he went into Arkansas State, the offense that he was running was super creative, incredibly fun. And I think that's what he's going to do at UCF. He has got speed for days in Orlando.
The one knock of the Arkansas State gig was he came behind one of the best recruiters in all of college football.
Yeah, but Hugh Freeze.
Now, that guy was only there for 1 year also, but he still recruited a bunch of kids and ended up going to Arkansas State.
That's true. That is true.
Because those weren't Ole Miss-level kids. Those weren't SEC-level kids. They were just the best at that level, and they still went to school there.
Which is great. That should tell you everything you need to know about who Auburn hired, by the way. They brought in Brian Harsin. So it was Hugh Freeze, and Hugh Freeze went, what, 11-2? And then Gus Malzahn went 10-2 or 11-2, whatever it was. And then they brought in Brian Harsin right after, and he went 7-5 with the same bunch. Now, you can't read everything off of that, but they had good enough players under Malzahn and Hugh Freeze to win the conference and win 11 games, go to a bowl game, all that kind of mess. They bring in Brian Harsin, they go 7-5. It's like, okay. It is what it is. Andrew Shirey jumps in. Imagine UCF goes undefeated again and plays Alabama in the playoff. Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. I'd be all about it. Like, I say that. I would hate to see Gus Malzahn in the playoff.
Yeah, I know. He's the only coach that's beaten you more than anyone else.
Nick Saban is like 72-6 or something in the SEC in the last decade or something, and three of those losses were to Gus Malzahn. Two of them to Hugh Freeze. So, is what it is. Casey said this interesting. I wonder if UCF gets better or worse. So they were a tad bit on the decline, but I don't know how much you can read into that. Now, Heupel was only there for three seasons, went 12-1, went 10-3, and then this year went 6-4, but they had so many opt-outs, and the only losses that he has had, other than that Molly Whopping put on him by BYU in the bowl game, they've all been one-possession games. So one play changes here or there, and they win all those other games.
A complete barn burner in Memphis. You're talking a weird-ass Tulsa game, which Tulsa, that's 2 years in a row. So there could just be something there about that. And then Cincinnati kind of beat the hell out of everybody, and UCF played them pretty tight.
Yeah. I mean, only lost to them by three.
And UCF's the only team that got to actually score on Cincinnati. See, Cincinnati did what they want to do to all the rest of those teams, which is shut the offenses completely down, and UCF actually scored on them, you know. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't beat him up for the record, Heupel up at all. I think this is a very comparable hire. I like Gus more than Heupel, but not a lot. I just think they're different. I think Gus has done things that Heupel's never done, but some of that's because of opportunity. You know, three wins against Nick Saban at Alabama. That's something that Heupel's never done. You know, he's been a part of beating up and being one of the big boys in the SEC West. You know, that's something Heupel's never done, but it's simply because of opportunity.
Yep. Heupel will get his chances against Nick Saban now that he's a
team. My argument, and I said this on the SBR show, and that'll come out at some point in time, so you can go watch that and hear it again. But can somebody explain to me how Gus Malzahn is any different than Brian Kelly?
You did bring this up, and I still don't have a good answer for it.
Because they are virtually the same record-wise. They both play a really hard schedule year in and year out. I would say that Auburn's schedule is harder than Notre Dame's.
Yes.
Because at no point in time is USC and Michigan anywhere close to the level of Georgia or Alabama or LSU or A&M. But they are still up there, and the difference is he actually has wins over Georgia. He has wins over Alabama. And Notre Dame, while they've played almost to a stalemate, the difference is Auburn has lost games that they shouldn't have lost, and Brian Kelly just rarely ever does that. But my argument is they're so close, and Brian Kelly, I would argue, is a top five coach in all of college football. Nobody should argue that he's not a top 10 coach in all of college football. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
We kind of think Gus is maybe not. And I want to ask the question of how are they different?
That's you've got a very valid point. Auburn and Notre Dame right there in the recruiting rankings every year. It's just same. Auburn has a much more difficult schedule every season.
I don't even know that it's so much more difficult. It's just Alabama and Georgia are better than anybody Notre Dame will play
That's what I'm saying overall.
But that's it. Like if you just say take the two worst games from Notre Dame away and take the two worst games from I bet they finish about the exact same.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that. Casey said UCF definitely going to be a top 25 team next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Andrew said, have to imagine Gus is going to have a lot more fun at this job than Auburn. Well, yeah, you don't have the booster program going on.
Handcuffs,
UCF.
Man.
Yeah, the handcuffs.
You don't have a legacy quarterback that's running off other quarterback recruits.
Well, and it's not only that. Like, obviously, he wasn't super successful even before Bo Nix got there. But it's always something that's going on at that program, whether it's, you know, who they let you hire or whoever else. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff that goes on there, and it's, I mean, Auburn handcuffs their own coaches. They do it all the time. They did it this go-round. Like, obviously, they did not necessarily want Brian Harsin, but that's who the AD wanted. But you could still tell that the boosters have their hands in there somewhere because he hired Mike Bobo as the offensive coordinator. And that is just a strange, strange fit. And you can say, oh, it's because they coached against each other when Bobo was at Colorado State and Harsin was at Boise State and whatnot, but those offenses are not even close to similar. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, on its surface, it makes no sense. But they brought in a bunch of dudes that are comfortable in the SEC. So it was, all right, you got Harsin, but we're going to get the other guys. So that's what Auburn does. It is what it is. Ben jumps in. Gus versus Fickell will be fun. I doubt Memphis wins the American anytime soon now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just think last year, while that UCF win was a big win, I'm not sold on Silverfield. And maybe I'm wrong. It's the best recruiting class Memphis has ever had.
Yeah.
But recruiting and everything, Gus is never going to get out. He's never going to out-recruit folks. Yeah. He's just going to out-scheme them, out-coach them.
No, you're 100% right about that. And, I mean, obviously, whether he recruits well or not, like, obviously, UCF was number 4 in the American this season in recruiting. They were number 4 last year. They were number 7 the year before that. Like, even under Heupel, they weren't recruiting at the top of the conference, but if you can take players and develop them and put them into a system, it doesn't matter.
Hang on. And we know these recruiting situations aren't gospel.
Yeah.
Okay. You give me a bunch of 2-stars and 3-stars that played competitive high school football out of Florida, and you take the 4-star out of, you know, Missouri and the 3-stars out of Missouri. Like, I'll take the 2-stars from Florida and just assume that the grading's wrong.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, again, like, there is such a thing as player development. So
yeah, but also, like I said, you're trying to evaluate at that time, you know, 16-year-old kids.
Oh yes, I mean, like, it's impossible.
Offensive lineman, defensive lineman. When you have a man that's playing with boys that just looks like a grown up, like, yeah, that guy's easy to look at and say, yeah, he's a 5-star. Look at that monster. But the rest of them, it's not so cut and dry.
No, you're 100% right. You are 100%
like,
right.
Like, we could all look at Arch Manning as a 16-year-old and be like, yeah, he looks legit. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about everybody else of what's the difference of this 4-star and this 2-star.
Casey said they'll start getting better recruits now for sure. I don't know.
Probably. I do think that Gus brings a little bit of a name brand. You know,
yeah, that's a
I mean, Gus
point.
Gets to do something that Heupel never could. Gus gets to say, I got, you know, I coached Cam Newton. And that offense that Cam Newton ran at Auburn was mine. And how many of you kids have Cam abilities? You know,
yeah.
Big, fast, cannon for an arm. Let's, you know, do you want to come play in this system? Do you want to come do that? So I think that could help him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got a national championship ring as an OC. He's got a national championship appearance as a head coach.
As a head coach, that's right.
You know, he's got SEC championships. He's got all kind of different
stuff.
Yeah,
he's got some bona fides that Heupel just didn't have the luxury of, which is fine.
You are correct about that. We'll move off of college football. Let's talk MMA for a second. And yep. I was excited about this. Kamaru Usman got the win over Gilbert Burns this weekend at UFC 258. And immediately, like, he starts in with, you know, put respect on my name, all that kind of stuff. And if you really think about it, the list of, you know, the greatest in the UFC, it's always obviously nobody thinks that Conor McGregor is the greatest, but that's one of the first names that comes out. And then there's Khabib Nurmagomedov, John Jones, Stipe Miocic, Israel Adesanya, Amanda Nunes. And then eventually you might get to Usman, right? really, you're using Fig Newton as an example, says Damien. Hey, Cam Newton in college was unbelievable, man. He won a national championship. Like, you can't deny that.
Yep.
But this Usman stuff, man, this fight that he had against Gilbert Burns, when we last saw Usman, he was beating Masvidal by pinning him in the corner and stomping on his feet. And it was one of those situations where, obviously, like, we all know that his wrestling is great. But it's also boring. And we talked about that being a problem in UFC. Like, your best fighters, your guys that are winning, are guys that will get on the ground and wrestle around for the entire fight. And that's not fun. It's not entertaining. The casual fan is not going to like that. And that's where your money is made. You've got some hardcore fans in UFC. It's not enough to maintain a billion-dollar business. Like, it's just not going to work. Casey said, I knew Cowboy was going to whoop dude. Well, that hadn't happened yet. That happens in May. No, this whole situation, let's see, Usman is never going to be one of those superstars that you think of when you think of the UFC. He can be if he does what he did on Saturday night. He knocked out Burns in the third round and looked good and came out, and I don't know if I've ever seen this right. When the champion has already beaten a guy, and he comes out and he calls out the guy that he's already beaten. He beat Jorge Masvidal back in August, September, whatever it was. I'm trying to figure out when that's ever happened. He called out Masvidal and was like, look, I know that you were saying if you had had a full fight camp, if you had had this
Masvidal,
match.
Yeah, it's because Masvidal was saying that he, you know, he didn't.
I mean, he came know, in
he
on 7 days notice
and stuff.
Yeah, he came in on 6 days notice. And then Usman, the only way he beat him was like stomping on his feet and pinning him in the corner. And that is true.
I get that. I get winning, beating somebody, and then everybody saying, oh, it's got to have an asterisk. It's got to have an asterisk. And then, you know, that pissing you off and wanting to beat that guy again. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
I've never seen it, but what they're going to do with it now is very interesting. They're bringing back the Ultimate Fighter. Did you ever watch the TV show?
Yes. Now, that I watched more than any pay-per-views ever. I watched religiously because I thought it was a great TV show, and it was the best thing USC ever did.
And they are bringing it back now, and it is the coaches are going to be Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman, and I cannot wait. I think this is going to be fantastic for ratings, for everything else. These two guys really don't like each other. I am pumped about it, man. Like, I am so stoked about what the UFC is doing. Obviously, we talked on Friday about all the different, like, John Jones is going to fight for the heavyweight belt against the winner of Francis Ngannou and Stipe. All of this stuff, what the UFC is doing right now is what I had hoped for. And it's entertaining.
No, I like it. And I like watching John Jones fights. I can't give him the credit everybody else gives him. Because like 60% of it, like a large section of his wins have all been thrown out because the guy can't fight without cheating. He cannot fight without PEDs. He cannot fight without steroids. And that's to say he can't. He just didn't for a really, really long time. And he beat the hell out of a lot of folks. Yeah. And he's a badass fighter. But you know, when you take that many roids over and over and over again, and you just keep getting caught. My problem is this is one of those situations where you're Dana, you're kind of whoring yourself out to let this guy back time and time and time and time again. It'd been different if I'm all about second chances. I'm all about third chances. Look, I screw stuff up all the time, and I'm glad people get multiple chances. But I'd probably have to Google it or look it up. Man, it's a lot of times this dude has fought unclean. And that's just not okay. And that's bad for your brand. It's bad for your product. But for some reason, we all forget that. And we still throw his name out there like he got all those wins and like he beat all those people up legitimately because we remember seeing him beat those people up.
It's not as many as you would think it is. He had one that was overturned after he tested positive for Turinabol. And that was the win over Daniel Cormier. But other than that, like he suffered one loss in the Ultimate Fighter Heavyweights finale back in 2009. He has not lost a fight since then. And none of them have been thrown out. I mean, it was Rampage
Man,
Jackson.
I thought he fought Cormier like three times. And all of them tested positive afterwards.
Let's see.
Because that's the guy that I remember just couldn't. I was like, why would he keep taking fights with him?
He fought that Cormier was multiple twice. Times. He fought Cormier twice. You're right. Both times.
Both times were dirty.
Yeah. The second one was ruled a no contest, and that was in 2017. In 2015, he was stripped of the title in April. They fought in January. He was stripped of the title in April after violating the UFC athlete code of conduct. Okay, so that's never mind. That's not. No, he wasn't stripped of any of the titles for that. So it was a big point of contention in the press, right? That's always been a big thing that, oh, he got popped for this, he got popped for that. He got popped for it before another fight, and they just called off the fight. But the only one that has been overturned was the one against Cormier in, let's see, UFC 214 in 2017. And he won performance of the night. It was originally a knockout, head kick and punches win for Jones. It was overturned. Jones stripped of the title after testing positive for Turinabol. That's the only one that he's actually been stripped of or anything like that.
But I'm not talking about stripped of, but he still tested positive. So that's the third time he tested positive, though.
Yeah, but none of the other ones had to do with any of the fights. But even still, it makes you think, like, okay.
Yeah, both Cormier fights, he tested positive for roids.
It's not saying
both of them.
It may have happened after, but he was stripped for violating the UFC athlete code of conduct. I don't know what that means. I do know this.
I'm telling you, I remember both of them, and I remember Cormier saying, like literally on TV saying, I don't know how to keep fighting this guy. He won't fight me clean. I remember that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember I listening to it on ESPN.
I do remember you talking about that. Not you. I remember him talking about that. So, let's see. Damien said, I wouldn't blame any fighter to take steroids. I mean, who the hell wants to be looking like Nate Robinson?
And don't get in the ring. Don't get into fighting. No one's putting a gun to your head. Nobody's holding your family hostage to make you fight.
You're right about that.
This is a free will and choice that these people make. They train and they walk into a ring and they take the risk. Okay? You don't want to do that? Don't do it. But for you to take anabolic steroids, dude, we can turn people into superhuman folks now with the pharmaceuticals that we have in our world today. We just can't. That shit's not okay. You'll kill somebody.
Speaking of that, that's not Carlos Gomez jumped in and said, breaking news, guys, Vincent Jackson found dead. Wow, crazy. I pulled up a couple of stories. Jackson, 38, was a South Tampa resident, checked into the hotel room in Brandon on January 11th and had been staying in a room since then. His family reported him missing February 10th. 2 days later, deputies with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office located Jackson at the Homewood Suites at Palm River Road. Da-da-da-da-da. That is...
They didn't say cause of death?
No, he was located deceased around 11:30 a.m. on Monday in his hotel room by a housekeeper. No signs of trauma.
That was like, was he stabbed? Was he shot? You know, was he strangled? Or is this an OD situation, a stroke situation, a heart attack situation?
That is...
I mean, and you might not know that, but you can tell, okay, we don't think somebody else killed him.
Yeah, apparently, no.
He died of either substance abuse or natural causes.
Well, I mean, he was found dead in a hotel room in Brandon, Florida.
Yeah.
That is crazy. He had been staying in the hotel since January 11th. That is crazy.
That's weird.
So he had been in the same hotel for a year? I mean, for a month? Something's a little weird about that. Casey said, damn, RIP. And he said he was very underrated at San Diego.
Yeah,
so Vincent Jackson was legit.
So those were the best San Diego teams that I've ever seen. The Daylon Thomas, the very beginning of Antonio Gates' career, LT, Rivers, and Vincent Jackson were just unstoppable.
That is certainly crazy. I mean, he was a 3-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. He was only 38 years old. He was the same age as we are.
Yeah, those are the Marty Schottenheimer years too.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. All right, yeah, that sucks. That is
Marty gone, VJ's gone. That's tough.
Back on the UFC thing, let's see. Who was it that said? Oh, Casey said, I wish they would do the tournaments like back in the day. Who is it? Bellator does tournaments, and they do it, you know, this month we're going to do these fights, and then the winners of those fights will fight, you know, next month at whatever, 6 weeks from now at whatever. Like, they still do the tournaments, and those are legit. Like, I kind of like that better than, much better than the way that the UFC does it, where, you know, you're just trying to call out whoever's going to give you the biggest payday. But, I mean, there's a reason why UFC makes a lot more money. So, is what it is. Hey, did you see Bellator signed up with Showtime? Like, Showtime Boxing and Showtime Fights is doing Bellator now?
I don't know that I've ever watched a Bellator fight.
It's, I went to one at the FedEx Forum not too terribly long ago and sat ringside for it, or cage side, whatever. And it was pretty well done. Like, a really, really good organization, but just not as many big names. Anybody that's really good over there typically goes over to the UFC, and yeah, once guys are washed up in UFC, they kind of head back over to, like, Yoel Romero is back over there in Bellator now after he kind of ran out at UFC. So it is what it is. It is what it is. All right, moving on to college basketball right quick. This weekend, we had the announcement of the early seeding. So the NCAA has started doing this to kind of give everybody an idea of where the top four seeds are for each regional when you are like midway through February. And they did it this weekend. Your number one seeds, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Ohio State, and everybody immediately started complaining that Michigan hadn't played in 2 weeks, da-da-da-da-da. You know, why would you have them up there? Well, their resume stated that they should be up there, and just because they're on a two-week or three-week COVID pause does not mean that their resume is not what it is. And then Michigan came out, and they handled Wisconsin on the road, like only allowed 20 points in the second half.
Yeah,
I will tell you this, the most underrated hire that anybody has made as an assistant coaching hire, Juwan Howard brought in Phil Martelli, former St. Joe's coach. You remember him?
No.
Phil Martelli had some great, great teams at St. Joe's. He made it to Elite Eights. I mean, all kind of different. He brought a ton of NBA guys through there. And eventually, obviously, he's an older guy, but the guy knows his X's and O's. You don't have to have superstar players all the time. You can develop them there. And Martelli has been a godsend for that team. Juwan Howard, I think, is a good basketball coach. I think him and Phil Martelli put together is unreal. So Michigan obviously deserves a number one seed. Ohio State deserves a one seed. Your two seeds, Alabama, Illinois, Houston, and Villanova. Villanova happened to go out and get slapped around by Creighton immediately after this. Then you had Oklahoma, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Virginia. And Oklahoma was listed as the last of the three seeds. Tennessee lost at LSU. West Virginia lost at home to Oklahoma. And I think that Oklahoma will move up, obviously, with that. Tennessee, I can't trust Tennessee at all this year. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's kind of the same thing with Iowa. Tennessee, I can't trust their offense. Iowa, I can't trust their defense. Texas is a four seed. I would imagine that they are going to move up eventually now that they're all healthy and whatnot. Missouri, a four seed. They got beat at home by Arkansas. And then Texas Tech is on a COVID pause. They were supposed to play Baylor. And, it is what it is. So the seeding and whatnot is interesting. Anybody that ends up in the same regional with Gonzaga and Baylor is just going to have to go through it. And I think Michigan is getting close to that same form. I don't think that they are on the same level with Gonzaga and Baylor. But college basketball is getting really interesting. Like, really, really interesting. We're talking about the fact that the Blue Bloods are not the guys. Yep. You know, they're not the ones this year. But you still got some monsters in this sport. Casey said Missouri is very underrated. They play really good team ball. Man, they got beat by 20-something at Ole Miss the other night. And when you're not, like, an overwhelming team, that's going to happen sometimes. Like, you're going to have
I think the SEC tournament's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it I is, really too.
Do. I think Ole Miss and LSU are absolute live dogs in anything. You know, Alabama's obviously the best team. Missouri's really good, but we see what happens when one of those other underrated teams can put something on you sometimes.
If you can play good defense.
There's a lot of good basketball to be played in the SEC this year. I don't know any of it's great, but I think a lot of it's good.
The Big Ten is ridiculous.
The Big Ten's the best conference, and it's not close.
Casey said Ole Miss is really good too, just inconsistent. Yeah, that's the issue, yeah. Right?
That's the SEC though. That's a outside of Alabama. That's been everybody.
Casey said, I've got Baylor at $750, Iowa at $1,100, and Bama at $2,900 if they win the championship. Let's see. Casey said, can Kentucky win the SEC tournament? If Clark comes back, I think they got a chance, but Missouri and Bama are going to be tough. No, Kentucky cannot win the SEC tournament. They played worse with Clark in the lineup than without him. Like, they are more of a team without Clark. Like, Clark, five-star freshman, all that kind of stuff, right? But if you look at his stats, like, he brings that team down because he's like a black hole, man. He takes so many shots, and he doesn't make enough of them to warrant it. So, no, I don't believe even if he comes back, I just don't think that's – Kentucky's a shit team this year. Like, they just suck this year.
Yeah, they're just bad.
You're going to have that sometimes, man. It's ironic – not ironic, it's insane that Calipari does not ever have these kind of teams. And yet, here he is. He's finally got one.
So, yeah, if you're going to do it, though,
COVID this would be the year to do it.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
You got that right. Let's move to a little NFL talk. RIP Terrez Paylor, Yahoo Sports writer. He covered the NFL for a while. He was only 37 years old. Went to sleep one night, just didn't wake up. And it's terrifying to think of. I mean, he was younger than we are. And, you know, the story that Dan Wetzel and those guys were telling, and somebody else was telling this story as well. I forget who all talked about it. But I figured we would talk about it as well. Terrez Paylor is responsible for Terrell Owens getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He had already been up for it twice. And the way it was explained, the room for the Hall of Fame, the guys that are sitting around discussing it, is a bunch of old white dudes.
Yep.
And obviously, T.O. had some controversial things go on in his career. There are some people that didn't like him as a teammate. There are some people that did like him as a teammate, obviously. And they were talking back and forth, and it looked like T.O. was not going to make it in for a third straight year. And for whatever reason, Terrez Paylor was in the room, and he stood up and told all these old white men that, hey, this is what watching T.O. meant to me growing up as a football fan, and what it meant for so many younger black men to watch him and the way that he played, and he made it fun, and he was must-see TV, and that is what a Hall of Fame is. Like, he has the numbers. Obviously, he should have been in on the first go.
That's right.
But because of the controversies and whatnot, all the storylines around him where he's got a bad attitude or he's just a diva and all this kind of stuff, Terrez Paylor got up and talked to all of them and said he deserves to be in because he is what the Hall of Fame is about. People remember him. They know who he is, and he's a good dude. He made football fun. He brought a lot of new fans to the sport. And that's what you want in a Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And they got him in. Now, T.O. did not even know the story until after Paylor had passed, which is sad, right?
Yeah.
But it just goes to show. You never know.
Nobody contacted T.O. to let him know, hey.
Yeah.
But T.O. You got an advocate out there, man.
You remember T.O. didn't even show up for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no.
He was so mad about not getting in the first two times, even though his numbers – absolutely.
Oh, yes. No. No, he's in conversation as the third best receiver of all time if we just look at numbers.
Oh, yeah. And so all of that, and he was second in yardage behind Jerry Rice, third in touchdowns behind Rice and Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, yeah. I mean, there might be some that might argue that he was better than Moss. I would never do that. I don't think that's right. But there's nothing. All the wide receivers in the history of the NFL, and you're the third best? Yeah, that's a first ballot thing.
Yes, 100%. Casey jumped in. T.O. was first ballot all day. Absolutely he was. And Terrez Paylor, obviously, great writer. I mean, the guy knew so much football. I mean, just reading his stuff, you could tell it. And I enjoyed reading his NFL stuff over at Yahoo Sports. Casey said Randy Moss is number one wide receiver of all time. Yeah, I could get down with that. That's a
real hard pill to swallow if you actually look at stats, Casey.
Yeah, because Jerry Rice is...
The separation between Jerry Rice and everybody else is miles and miles and miles.
You are correct. So, could you imagine, like, what would Joe Montana be without Jerry Rice?
I think he would still be great. I still think he would be great. And I know that's the argument for Moss was, as well, he never played with a great quarterback. Yeah, but he also never played with, like, a dud quarterback either. Like, he had one great year with Tom Brady, and then Tom got hurt in the first quarter of the next season. And then that next year, Tom was coming off the injury, wasn't real stable, had to kind of relearn how to play on the knee, and Randy was starting to kind of do some Randy things and got out of there.
And he also got hurt, didn't he? I thought he got hurt that season.
I don't know. I don't know that Randy got hurt. I think Randy played. He started becoming Randy Moss again. A little bit of a headache.
Agreed. But yeah, so the Terrez Paylor stuff, you hate to see that, obviously. I mean, that's such a cliche thing to say. But obviously, rest in peace to him. His work was absolutely fantastic. I hate that Terrell Owens never knew that story. Because I thought it was fascinating. And it kind of goes to show exactly how these backroom dealings work, right? When people are being elected to Hall of Fames, et cetera, it's such a sham. It's so disgraceful in the way that they talk about this. I mean, the guys that make these decisions have no real touch with reality or how the sport is evolving.
All of the Hall of Fames, they're just popularity contests.
It's popularity contest with the right people, because I don't know that you would have found anybody that was more popular than T.O.
No, T.O. was not a very popular guy. T.O. was popular with a very small section of NFL fans. That's it.
Yeah,
I didn't like T.O. T.O. was great. I didn't like him. I never pulled for him.
I pulled for him. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was fascinating.
Once. Never once.
I thought it was fascinating. So, but it is what it is. We will move off of that. And I've got two topics and two different quarterbacks that I want to close out with.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we'll go ahead and start off. First one, Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel was back on a football field this weekend. And, obviously everybody remembers former Cleveland Brown first-round pick. You know, he had all these issues. He was cut. He hadn't played in an NFL game since 2015. I mean, everybody thought he was kind of – he is washed up. He made an appearance briefly in the AAF in Memphis. And nothing has really happened since. Like, you see him pop up on TMZ every now and then. He was a superstar. Damian said T.O. was the Kardashians of football. And Johnny Football is partly like a Kardashian. He might be like that Scott dude that's, like, married to one of them or was.
Yeah, I was about to say, the reason you can make the T.O. comparison is because the Kardashians, like them or not, are amazing. They're huge. They're huge, and T.O. is huge. Johnny Football was huge for 5 minutes at Texas A&M.
Agreed. It was one season. He won a Heisman Trophy. He was absolute. Well, two seasons, but he won a Heisman Trophy his first year in. The stuff he did on a football field was out of this world.
That's right.
Casey said he didn't look great with the other football league. No, he did not look good in Memphis at all. I mean, I went out and watched him. He was not great. But in this situation, he completed one out of five passes for the Zappers, whoever that is, 11 yards passing. He rushed for 67 yards and a touchdown on 8 carries. He had a 38-yard run on his first play from scrimmage, and it almost went for a touchdown. And it was really fun to watch the highlights of. It's the fan-controlled football league. I don't even know what this stuff. It's on Twitch, I guess. It's really strange. But his quote after is what really it tickled me, because I enjoy seeing this. He said, feels like I'm super washed up, but I still had a blast. He said, that's the most fun I've had in a while. And they asked him about, you know, if you get a call to go back to the NFL, like, would you want to do it? He said, no. He said, I'm not an NFL player. He actually admitted it. He was like, I am not good enough to play in that league. I've already been there when I was 5 years younger. Like, no, I wouldn't go do that.
It's really hard.
Like, it is a really difficult thing to be able to play
in the NFL. And he plays the hardest position there is to play.
Yes. It said that he has not received interest from the NFL in years. He doesn't sound concerned with finding another football playing career. He joined the FCF just for fun. He said, the product will keep getting better as the weeks go on. Good start, even with the loss. You know, win or lose, we booze on the Zappers. He's just out here partying, man. He is enjoying himself, and I can't blame him. Like,
No, I'm sure he's trying to make some money, and I'm sure he's trying to have a good time. And
I don't even know that this is – I don't even know that it's money. I think
he's got to be making something.
I'm sure he is, but let's see. It's an arena league played on a 50-yard field that's 35 yards wide. The startup league includes investors with NFL ties. It's Chad Johnson, Marshawn Lynch, and Richard Sherman. It sounds okay. Like, it looks like an arcade game with all the highlights that I've seen.
It seems like a losing investment.
Very much so.
Sounds like those three gentlemen are going to lose some money.
I would not doubt that at all. It did look entertaining. I just don't know that I would turn it on. And I mean, I don't know how you're going to sell sponsorships and get people interested in this thing. So who knows? Who knows? We'll close out with this one. We got to talk about your boy right quick. Obviously, everybody knows. You can see the picture right behind Chris, right there. Yeah. That is a signed picture of one coach, Ed Orgeron.
That's right.
So you know we had to close out with this. McNeese State wins in double overtime at Tarleton State in the first FCS game of the spring. Cody Orgeron. Let me pull up the stats here. 40-37 in double overtime, by the way. Cody, not a great passer. We'll go ahead and admit that. 14 out of 34 passing. Doesn't sound great. 170 yards, but 3 touchdowns passing. He had 19 carries for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground.
That's not too bad.
Every touchdown that they scored was because of Cody Orgeron. This guy was not great last season, but he looked pretty damn good against Tarleton State's defense, man. They were down 31-17 with 4 minutes left in this ball game, and came back, scored a touchdown with about 2 minutes left, kicked an onside kick, drove it down, scored another touchdown, and then ended up winning in double overtime. How proud of your, not your son, but I'm sure that you think of him as that.
My brother.
Okay, your brother. Because you look at Coach O kind of as a dad. Okay, I can
I don't know about that. Man. He's like a crazy uncle. He's like a cousin.
Okay, so
cousin
so
Cody. Cousin. Yeah, it was awesome. I liked. I didn't watch it live. I didn't, you know, whatever. But I did watch all the highlights, and yeah, it was fun.
I can get down with it. I can get down. It looked like a lot of fun. I wish I had been able to find it on an actual TV channel instead of
I know I'm really annoyed with these games not being on TV. Listen, college basketball ain't that enticing, okay? And there's only like 6 of these games a week.
Yeah.
So you can't schedule it on a time where there's a college basketball game where nobody gives a shit about.
I mean, I agree.
I mean, ratings are down so bad already on everything else. Just give these guys a shot. And my issue is what is CBS Sports doing? You know, what is Fox Sports South doing? What are these channels doing? Yeah. NBC Sports, what are you doing?
Give me FS1.
You gotta replay the NASCAR bullshit all day long. You can't just say, hey, in 3 hours we're gonna put this football game on.
I mean, it would make sense to me. It seems like you would draw in more viewers with even an FCS game.
Hang on. It's not more viewers. You would draw in new viewers. People who don't know how to get to NBC Sports. People who don't know how to access CBS Sports or don't know CBS Sports exists as a thing. They would now find it. Agreed. And it would now exist as a thing. I don't know.
We hadn't talked about this. Do you see NBC Sports is shutting down, I think, at the end of the year?
Yes.
Yeah. How crazy is that? I mean,
not enough content. They can't find enough good content. Oh, holy shit. You've got a whole sports league right now being played. Nobody can find their games. Call them up.
I'm sure it would
you
be
get
cheap.
Them for a song, man.
That's I love that phrase. I love that phrase.
What are we doing?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew.
Why can't people just call us and say, give me advice? Give me advice. I don't need charge. I don't even care.
Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to start up a Winning Cures Everything advising firm.
Yeah.
I mean,
all your problems.
Think about all the money that these conferences.
I mean, I'm probably going to stir some shit up and piss some people off while fixing. But that needs to happen to fix your problems.
Yes.
You're just too close to the situation to realize it.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
No.
I think we can get out of here.
I'm sad about the VJAX news. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
It's weird when you watched a guy for a long time and you kind of really liked him. I mean, I don't like the tweet. This is the stupid stuff that I think about, okay? Yeah. This makes me kind of a moron, but also this is who I am. But, like, I saw the tweet and I was like, why they got him in the Bucks gear? Like, because he died in Tampa? Like, come on, man. Like, I know that guy as a Charger. And yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe more people know him as a Buck than that. I just really love those Chargers teams. And I always pictured him as a Charger because of that. And so when I saw the Bucks here, I was like, come on, dude. Like, is this because they just won the Super Bowl? Or what are we doing?
No, it's because that's the last team that he played for.
Yeah, but
he closed out his career. Right,
if Tom Brady would do something at the end of his career, we're just going to put him in Bucks gear for the rest of, for all eternity?
No, but
I mean, come on, terrible. Like Brett Favre, he's not a Viking. He doesn't. Outside of the highlights of him playing for the Vikings, nobody needs to remember him as a Viking.
What were his stats with the Bucks? I don't think he was like great with them.
Well, it was at the end of his career, but he was. I mean, he was still a very good receiver then, but he wasn't great when he was with the Chargers. Man, I mean, he was a top tier receiver in the league.
Let's see. He played 5 seasons with Tampa Bay,
yeah,
and he played 7 seasons with the Chargers.
Yeah, and it wasn't. It's like not like he never. It's just those Chargers teams were iconic. Those Chargers teams were good, and if it wasn't for a man named Tom Brady and Bill Belichick or Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy, those Chargers teams are going to Super Bowls.
Yeah, in Tampa, his numbers were better in Tampa than they were in San Diego.
That might be, but some of that could be how much he had to share the ball, whatever. I know him as a Charger.
I mean, it makes sense.
Like I said, this is a me thing, and I know that all of the news verse can't, you know, just take my feelings into consideration and just do whatever the hell I want or what I think is right. I'd be happier, but this goes back to my high maintenance stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I want him to be a Charger, damn it. He played for those
Schottenheimer, LaDainian Tomlinson,
yeah,
and
yeah,
all
those
that,
yeah. Marty Schottenheimer teams.
Yeah,
because Marty just died. Like, you know, put him in the Chargers gear.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Damian said, "I would like to not remember Favre at all." Casey jumped in. Favre was great, bro. You're tripping. No, it's not that. Damian's
he's just
a Bears fan. Like, come on, Casey.
first he ruined his life for about 15 years with the Packers and then ruined his life at the end of the career, the 2 years with the Vikings.
Faux show. And I don't blame him for wanting to forget Favre at all. Faux show. All right.
I'll never forget him.
Let's go and get out of here. This was a fun show today. So we appreciate everybody that jumped in to the comments, Casey and Damian and all the rest of you guys. We certainly appreciate you for being a part of the show. Go and subscribe to the podcast, of course. Head over to sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. Make sure that you subscribe over there on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search out SBR Picks. Our college football week 5 of the offseason show is going to be up over there on Wednesday, I do believe. Where the stuff is edited and whatnot, they don't have any snow. They ain't got any winter storms coming up.
Oh, they ain't Costa Rica. My uncle been posting pictures from Costa Rica.
It's nice.
Making me jealous.
It's nice.
Hey, Taylor, so this again is funny. I want to throw this out there. I just checked Twitter real quick. Andy Staples tweeted this, and this is earlier during the press conference for Gus Malzahn. One of the AAC hard hitting reporters, not really knocking anybody, Ask Gus Malzahn, a former Auburn coach, might add, if he understood what a pressure cooker was like walking into UCF. I think he knows what pressure's like, baby.
I think he knows.
I think he's got an idea of a little bit of pressure.
I need to go back and watch this video and see if he smirked at him a little bit. Like, yeah, that had
I'm curious now. Seeing that from Andy Staples, yeah, I need to go find the press conference and actually watch it now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. You guys have been fantastic. Subscribe to the podcast. Share the show out. Tell your friends. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that like button for us. We would appreciate that. Subscribe to the channel if you have not already. All that good stuff. All that good stuff. We will be back on Wednesday with a lot more to discuss because, my God, the sports world never stops turning. And we are going to be locked in for quite a while. Over the next week, we got like another 10 inches of snow coming. So we're going to be locked in the house doing our thing. Hopefully my 2-year-old does not want to go back out and play in the snow when he gets up from his nap. But my guess is he will want to. So 3 more layers of clothes and we'll make sure that the laundry is rolling. So, all right, Chris, have fun smoking the meats today, my friend. I wish I could get over there to taste some of it, but
it's going to be delicious.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I am sure it is. Hey, we're having chili cheese dogs tonight for dinner.
Attaboy.
I'm pumped about it. All right, you guys have been great. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And hopefully this week, if there are any sports that you can bet on, I hope you all cash your tickets.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.